Hello, Peter Lynham.
Hello there. Calling you from Christchurch Airport.
Oh, it's all the way down there in Chichester.
Yeah, I've been down to Chichester for a funeral, and so about to try and get a standby seat to get home.
Okay.
Because I don't want to stay in a foreign city in the middle of COVID.
These things tend to escalate, Peter, so get home immediately. Right. Why don't you? Don't stick around anyway, and have a look at the lovely churches down there.
I have an interesting subject for today, the fascinating death of a prominent Vietnamese monk who died at the age of 95 in Vietnam in Hue City just over the weekend.
Okay.
And as soon as I've got out of the car, I'll be able to get the piece of paper with his name because I would hate to get it wrong.
That's okay. We can just talk about the monk.
Yes. So, thank you. Bye bye. I'll just jaywalk across the road.
I thought so.
And find a little quiet spot.
Yep.
You can go into the terminal if you want. So you're just arriving at the airport, exiting the fair city of Christchurch.
So here we are. Right. So Thich Nhat Hanh, 95 years old, returned to Vietnam in just 2 years ago, where he wanted to die back among his own people, and was treated with extraordinary suspicion by the communist government, who've had guards at the gate of the monastery for the last 2 years, didn't quite know what a 95-year-old was planning to do, and would it be interesting to see what sort of funeral they'll allow, because Buddhism and communism have an uneasy relationship in Vietnam.
So this dude's been outside of Vietnam because of political reasons, and so he just thought, do you know what, screw it, I'm going to go soon, I'm just going to go home, and nobody did anything about it?
Well, people said plenty of things about it, but the interesting thing was, you see, that initially, when he went into exile, he went to the United States, but he was outspoken against the Vietnam War.
Right.
And so he was not at all popular in Vietnam, in the U.S.
Right.
There are some astonishing pictures of him appearing with Martin Luther King, expressing his, in forceful terms, his opposition to the war, which really were quite significant at the time. And so he ended up by going into exile in Paris, and he's lived in Paris for the last, Vietnam War, so it must be 40 years he's lived in Paris. But what is so interesting about this monk is that he recognized, I mean, all religions are trying to work out how do we survive today? You know, what do we look like in the contemporary world? And he realized that Buddhism could be translated into contemporary terms as mindfulness.
Mm.
And that term that we're all pretty familiar with, of mindfulness, is in fact Thich Nhat Hanh's concept. And so he said that be able to concentrate on the present and focusing and allowing the present to count for its own significance was something that only a truly spiritual person can do.
Isn't that interesting, though, as well, that a monk would sort of say, hey, be in the moment, it's actually really important, rather than, you know, you hear about meditation and trying to sort of escape and all that, but actually it's quite right on to just consider the moment that you're in and treat that with the respect that it deserves.
Yes, and I think the other thing that's very interesting is, and yet he has got space to be political, to be outspoken on political issues, but he also knows that we have to make sense of our own identity now and in this time and in our own being.
Mm.
And so he dealt with the kind of individualism of identity, but he wasn't unaware of the importance that we've got to live well for the good of the world as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think this man, Thich Nhat Hanh, needs to be remembered. He offered a possibility of Buddhism making sense to a contemporary world, and it really, when mindfulness is now everywhere, isn't it? You seem you can't join any big corporation without being forced to go to a course on mindfulness, which might not be the best way to learn about mindfulness in some way.
I feel like our government has taken mindfulness and just slapped a Be Kind logo on it, you know?
Like
same kind of thing, right?
That seems to be about it. I think you're right. Yes, that's a disturbing thought.
Peter, on the topic of meditation, is that something yes. that you have practiced in your life?
I've tried to develop a form of Christian meditation. Mm. And you see, I mean, very often in meditation form, you need some point or center to which you try to find some kind of focus that you're not caught up in the buzz of the everyday. Mm. And so typically in yoga meditation, you know, that you're given a word and that word becomes the center. Mm-hmm. And so there is a Christian tradition, Christian monastery, and there's just the possibility that they learned this from Buddhist or Hindu monks a long time ago, that you could take either a Christian image, an icon or something like that, or that you could take a part of scripture and it would become the focus of meditation. So, I mean, I think in many ways that's quite a powerful theme in modern Christianity, which sometimes seems not a typically mindful type of religion.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's rather intriguing, but I think the lessons are often learned across a lot of boundaries in religion. In fact, I don't know that those boundaries are nearly as clear as they once were.
Right. The link between devotion and sort of your own self-preservation and sort of how you...
Yes, well, I think there's a kind of... People are tired of institutions and of supporting institutions, but on the other hand, we're very, very self-aware these days, or we're aware that, you know, we've got to deal with issues by ourselves. So in the vastness of the crowd, our individual identity becomes more and more important. Now, there's always a risk in that. It becomes totally self-centered, and mindfulness can have that risk in it. Mm. But at its best, it's something very, life-giving, I think.
Just back to the Vietnamese monk and sort of unpacking his life's work and his legacy. Do you think that people will examine, you know, his works and the things he's talked about, and something more will come of him?
I think there's little doubt that for Mahayana Buddhism, I mean, it's given it extraordinary new life. And that those forms of, they're often called humanistic Buddhism, that recognize that perhaps the most important contribution that Buddhism gives is towards the nature of humanness. I mean, there's now quite a significant flourishing of that kind of style of Buddhism. And it's really refreshed Buddhism, which in some way had become in trouble because of the loss of Chinese Buddhism, you see, with the communist Chinese having really tried to suppress it.
Right.
There's a whole interesting story here.
Does Vietnam feel a sort of shame for how they've sort of treated this monk?
I'm afraid that contemporary Vietnam, where you might have hoped they would know, because after all, it was the Vietnamese monks who originally opposed the Diem regime and the early regimes that the Americans were propping up.
Right.
And there was a famous case of the monk who burnt himself to death the streets of Saigon.
I've been to that spot. Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's an extraordinarily vivid picture.
Wow, so powerful. I mean, obviously, for everyone beefing listeners, it's the cover of the Rage Against the Machine record, if you don't know what we're talking about.
But it's a searing image.
Mm. Oh,
it's
man.
A searing image.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's crazy. Totally crazy.
Yeah. I think that you would think that the communist regime, which is increasingly a nationalist regime and is very anti-Chinese these days, that it might reconcile itself to Buddhism, but it's somewhat like Chinese communism. It regards religious belief as running against the notion of a regime that's in control of everything.
Right.
And perhaps they're right.
Mm. Is there scope for us to talk about Buddhism in China in the coming weeks?
I would love us to talk about Buddhism in China.
Okay.
All right. Lined up for next week.
Classic. Classic. That's the spirit form where we set up next week at the end of this week.
Excellent.
Thank you. Peter, good luck getting that flight out of Christchurch.
I'll go and try and get a ticket. Yep. Okay.
We don't know what comes after red, mate, all right? So just take it easy.
Cheers. Okay, see you. Bye-bye.